April 2019, students at the University of Kentucky began a hunger strike over food and housing insecurities and refused to eat until their demands for a basic needs center were met. In response, the University of Kentucky president held a session and submitted a campus-wide letter. This podcast today is going to focus on our raw reaction to reading that letter and learning a little bit more about the situation going on in Kentucky. Hope you enjoy.
Recognizing the role of diversity and inclusion officers, releasing findings on the Ross Cook survey, which was a survey on the safety and climate of Black students on campus, taking down...
You gotta see how it starts, though. It's just like this guy's like, earlier this morning, I spent 2 hours talking to students in my office.
Oh, yeah. So what did the Black students say that you mistreat us there?
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
At the university?
For more than two hours this morning, I met with about 100 of our students. I heard their brutally heartfelt and painfully honest stories about the challenges of being a student of color or need at our university. It was, as I told them, the toughest day I've ever had as a member of our community. My mind was further open to their challenges and, frankly, to some of the shortcomings we have as an institution that aspires to be a community of belonging for everyone. They shared what it means to be a Black student, someone who is hungry, or someone who fears losing housing. I have an obligation to meet them where they are and to do everything I can to help them to feel the university is their university. I thank them for their passion and their courage. I know this is not the first conversation we've had, and I know it will not be the last. We will continue our dialogue further. I know that many of the students I met with are disappointed at the moment about the progress we've made. I told them that I am disappointed, too, and I'm sorry. We need to make better progress at a faster pace. We have certain things we are proud of that we can point to, and we have certain things that we require more work. We are committed to doing that work together with all of them and all of you. Their concerns are real, they are fair, they deserve our attention.
So where are you starting? Where's the money? Because in the same day you gave your basketball coach a lifetime contract. $9 million a year. So you clearly have the money.
Really?
To help these students out.
Yikes.
So where's the money?
You know, my thing about the whole thing, and being a student of color at a PWI, you're going to always feel those things. And when you are from a Southern PWI, you're going to have, like, the racist or the pictures in the KKK and blackface. You're going to always have something like that.
Considering the University of Kentucky the South?
Yes.
Might as well be the South.
Kentucky is the South.
But it is one of the most racist states in the country.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yeah. Which is why this is even more laughable. You didn't know that Kentucky was racist? So you didn't think the University of Kentucky was racist? This is the first time you're hearing?
Yeah, it is.
No, not you. But the president of this university.
Eli.
The first time he's hearing that Kentucky
Well, maybe it's
is
not.
It was
maybe
more than
100
students showing up at your office like, hey, we got issues. No, you knew that.
He knew enough to hold a session for 100 students for over 2 hours.
That means that it got to a point.
Right. It had to be bad before for you to hold it.
So it's always been bad. It got to horrible. Because if you brought in 100 students from the last 10 years, they probably would have told you the same thing. And if you didn't think Lexington, Kentucky, just go throw a rock and see how many people of color you hit in Lexington, Kentucky. Right? Let's look at the voting lines in Lexington, Kentucky. That's not a new thing.
But
he made it sound new. My question then is, what exactly are they asking you to do?
Let's see. Our first steps will revolve around 8 commitments we are making as a university based on the issues put forward by the Black Student Advisory Council and the Basic Needs Campaign. And then it later says, we express concerns to the Black Student Advisory Council about safety in the main building going forward based on that and the commitments we have made below. They left the building this evening. The students associated with the Basic Needs Campaign also agreed to leave the building and end their hunger strike.
That was the triggering event session.
I didn't read anything about their hunger
strike. I didn't know about a hunger strike.
Think about it. So they had to literally starve themselves in my building for me to go, you know what?
I'll talk to them now.
It was scheduled for 2 hours, went a little over, so you got to be like for over 2 hours. A permanent seat for Black students on search committees for administrative officials. revising the William C. Parker Scholarship, which historically has targeted underrepresented students and students with financial need, requires reform.
So,
UK will meet with the Black Student Advisory Council to review the available data relative to the Parker Scholarship with the goal of strengthening and continuing to grow the program for Black students without diminishing our commitment to diverse students across the campus. Our review will also include other awards for graduate students. Standardizing the role of diversity and inclusion officers. Releasing the findings from the Cook-Ross survey. That survey and others have helped guide much of the progress we've made in recent years in improving our campus climate. Maybe, I wonder why that was demanded to be released. Like, what was the drama around them not releasing the results? Taking down the mural in Memorial Hall. We'll re-engage a committee to determine long-term plan, although efforts over the past 2 years to create a complete context for the mural have been earnest and thoughtful. The artwork in the Memorial Hall remains a touchstone of pain and hurt for many students of color.
So let's go ahead and
pull up a picture of the mural. I didn't see the mural. Staffing for a basic needs center. As a first step, full-time professional staff member will be hired and trained to coordinate and plan UK's approach to basic needs, including food and housing insecurity. Additional resources for staffing and physical space. Establish a basic needs fund. So, assuming to fund.
So, while he's Googling that, we had the same type of protest where I went. And so, yeah. Here's the deal. What happens is you have these large PWIs,
mm-hmm.
right? And in their benevolence, they say, we will have a population of African-American students. We also have international. Mm-hmm. We'll also have others, but particularly the challenge for African-American students that international students don't have is international students often have to pay to come. And so
right.
they typically come with some level of financial stability.
Mm-hmm.
What they do then is they recruit African-American students, and at the time they're like, we've got these great financial aid packages
mm-hmm.
that'll help you come, or these scholarships. The students get to campus a couple of years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years sometimes. The people on scholarship committees go, yeah, we don't feel like we should be funding all these different things because we want to go get other students. We've got to get Hispanic students, and we've got to get these students.
Mm.
Or they'll be like, you know what? You guys can have this dorm on this side of campus, and it's not the best dorm because you all aren't paying premium, but you're happy to have a room, right?
Mm-hmm.
The students go through this along with the threat of their money then coming off. Because that's usually what starts is when they start finding out that scholarship money is going to get cut.
Mm-hmm.
They go, hey, you know what? Besides the fact that you all are taking the money from me, which is the one reason that keeps me with dealing with all the BS here.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take my money. So let me enlighten you to all the other racist things that I have to
mm-hmm.
do here. And then the university goes, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't know that because there's so many budget lines at Kentucky. I'm sure the president is not looking at what probably equates to a small budget line to cover these basic needs and scholarship funds. And so it happens more than you think. So let's see this mural, though, that they probably have walked by for the last 10, 20 years and complained about.
Did you find it?
Oh, I found a picture.
Bring it up.
There's a picture. There's a mural. And this came from...
What does that article say? Dates back to the 1930s and has been repeatedly criticized for its slavery-related images. The issue came up again at a student protest over diversity and food insecurity concerns. Students are protesting problems Black and low-income students face and demanding Kentucky take action.
Oh, could it be the
picking cotton?
Oh, yes, they definitely are picking something out here. Damn it. Wow.
That's
one strike.
Hey, Quadra didn't even jump to that. What did you jump to?
I saw, like, there's a... Is that a Native American?
That's a Native American with a tomahawk.
Peeking in at somebody, some lady in the yard.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
That is
creepy. Ooh.
There's a... The black band playing for the
white
people dancing.
Yeah, it got a couple things to be.
I don't know, is that the black side of the church? I don't know.
That is. Yes, it is. You have the white side and the black side.
That's why the train rolls through.
And what's going on with these brothers, I don't know, but.
Yeah, they're watching a guy fish, maybe?
I don't know. You can't. We didn't get the fish off the bridge.
What?
We couldn't even fish off the bridge. We had to fish off the shore.
Yeah.
But the picking cotton part, that's the one that got me. I saw that. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
In
the middle.
Like prime building on campus.
Yeah, Memorial Hall.
Yikes. Ooh.
Just think, how lazy do you have to be to not even have the meeting? Not even to be like, hey guys, it's 1995, right?
You don't like being reminded of the cotton picking? Is that not something you want to see?
You're right. That is on a level of creepy that is like, and she's outside of a fort, so he going to get her.
Yeah, like, does anybody know what that means?
Well, somebody
did. What was the intent? Like,
somebody had to know what was going on.
They commissioned a mural.
Yeah.
And the goal, and like, what was the...
It's to commemorate the,
Does it say? What they commemorate?
I want a quote from someone being like...
Who's defending?
Yeah.
That's what I need. Who are the people that this represents? Right. The tradition of how Lexington was built. How about this is just an odd artistic choice anyway, right? There's a lady laying down, I believe, her naked somebody to death. That looks like he's dead, right?
Yeah, I know he's dead.
And she's just laying him down in the field. That just doesn't seem like, even as a white student, I would want that in my union.
It's just,
which includes image of a Native American clutching a tomahawk. Oh, I was right.
Black people working in the field.
Well, we got those two. Those two was kind of obvious to us.
Yeah, this becomes then like, where's Waldo? Like, can you spot the racism?
Okay, this is an article about the article we just read.
Yeah.
During that meeting, he told the students his heart hurts for them. It hurts for the history that you have had, that you have to carry with you every day.
It hurts me because I see it every day right outside your office.
Oh, wait. Someone said that the mural depicts a black body being sold.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do they have a section?
That's the Where's Waldo part. Okay. We didn't seem to see that.
Is that up there?
Or maybe here?
That
or looked
more like a church scene.
He's holding up something. It's really hard to tell.
I need to know the dimensions of this mural.
Can we go visit? Can we go visit? Like, here it is.
The thing is, like, they weren't just like, we're going to paint it. They're like, we're going to think of a plan to, like, remove it so that it can still, like, live on somewhere else.
No.
They just need to paint it.
But why didn't they do that before? Again...
In the 1930s, it's been almost a century of this.
A century. So let me give them, 85? You could have been like,
Right.
This is a little
seems like this is pretty old. Scroll down and a little bit. A fresco that was painted in the 1930s for the Public Works of Art Project, which was part of the Franklin D. Roosevelt's New Deal. Can't physically be moved because it's literally part of the wall it's on. Or else he would do so immediately. I mean, that's only if you're trying to preserve it, which you could just paint it.
Do you know how many new buildings colleges build every year?
I have to confess, it is difficult for me to think of destroying that piece of art.
Huh? Who said that?
The president.
The chancellor. Eli Campano.
That's the president. That's the guy who wrote the thing.
So that's the scary part right there, right? This man is a chancellor in 2019.
He got pictures.
You weren't around in the 1930s?
Working in the field, being sold. Creepy Indian, man.
Like, you feel like you're just going to hurt this guy's feelings? This guy from the 1930s? Like,
FDR is dead.
Let me ask you, what current white student, gives a damn about this mural writer? How many of them have been like, you know what?
I'm not going to Kentucky. It don't have a race mural.
Where's the mural? I've been waiting to see this. When you brought me here on my visit to Kentucky, you showed me this mural, and this is what I was like, I'm at home.
Here's my question. So when these students get, like, recruited? Are they like, do they get a tour of this building?
Right, no.
Or does it like,
I can see me and my mom walking for a while like,
that it's like, hey, okay, what the like, hell make is sure that? You don't walk by the mural.
Don't think about a mural.
Don't walk by the mural.
So this is further, if I'm John Calipari, I'm going, you see why I have my own dorm for my student athletes with their own kitchen and everything else? Because they don't have to walk from the gym to the dorm. There's your evidence right there.
Yeah.
I bet you if you pulled any random basketball player from Kentucky and were like, hey, what about the Mural Memorial Hall? They'd be like, huh?
Yep. I've never been there.
I went there on weed charges one time. But
the chancellor's office, we go there. I've never been there before.
Yikes.
Wow. I got to zoom in a little bit on that to see if that's where it's been sold, because if they got one where it's been sold. The people working in the cotton field was obvious. That was
I didn't
like,
even know the dimensions of this thing. So this seems like it's the type of thing that takes, like, it's the whole wall, right?
It sounds like it's a big part of the wall.
Let me see.
So what did we learn here? PWIs are racist, but only have to bring their racist habits brought to them by students by hunger strike.
Like what, even just mass the hunger protest? Strike in itself, I think was like, it's kind of like an older, like when was the last hunger strike you can think of?
Right. But then the Missouri, no, there was one at Missouri. That's when the football team quit. It's between two doors.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But let me also say this. Those students, if their scholarships and needs were taken care of, would not be as upset about that mural. But we can't have double. We can't have a situation in which I get to be poor and black on your campus, and I get to look at that.
Like, overt, right. Offensive.
Right. I mean, I'm already looking at privilege.
Like, I can look the other way if you're paying me.
Well, not even that. It's... Whoa.
That's a close-up.
Is that guy holding a gun with children? What
are we doing?
What are we doing? That person looks like they're literally covering their ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, the close-ups are bad.
A little rough. Yikes.
Yeah, that's... But I will go. Not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the ignorance that...
Well, I think you can kind of see it like... in the guy's reaction to be like, he like his immediate reflex is to save the art, like he doesn't want to risk offending the white people, you know, like by taking away something that
even though
it's pretty, it's not like, oh, you really have to look at it for a while for it to feel offensive, like it's like pretty much like like
you can walk past
you do
that.
A double take if you're out there walking.
I hope that's not a viewer.
Oh, we got
you need to stop scrolling because it's totally inappropriate. But it took a hunger strike and an over two and a half hours.
And this is a school that supposedly has a black advocacy like unit.
Oh, they do. It's probably one person.
38 feet by 11 feet.
Do this last thing, because then go show me how many students are in time. I'm going to go on a whim and say 30,000, which I think is shooting
low. Oh, man, UK.
United Kingdom.
Oh, come on. That's a basketball. These put UK like Google's like, oh, you mean Kentucky?
I apologize.
You might actually have to write University of Kentucky.
Yeah.
30.
Duh. Yeah. So 30,000 students. Now, it actually will allow you to go back and go look at the black population.
Here we go.
7% of those 30,000 people
are black.
7%.
So that gets you one diversity officer.
Yep.
One room.
One representative.
And if they're lucky,
and
they have like
a 38-foot mural. Mural.
If you're lucky, that person has like a classroom adjacent where they can hold a couple programs. We can hang out and watch, you know, Black Panther when it comes back out on video. 82.8% white.
Oh, that's faculty. Go up. Students are 7.8.
So slightly better.
0.8.
So I'm all out on Kentucky saying that this was the first time that you ever realized that black. But
that's crazy to me. I didn't realize that they held a session in response to a hunger strike, and as a result, they agreed to go to leave and go eat.
Right. Only this to have fun. More discussions. He hasn't given them a dime. This is the ignorance of a university. John Calipari got an offer from UCLA
and they
for less money than he was already being paid and got a lifetime contract. These kids damn near starved themselves and got a couple bullet points and a future conversation.
Yeah.
That is the essence of what talks at these universities.
Wow.
The stamp. So we were already in something and you just switch it up.
Oh.
So you were saying how hard it is to mail actual.
It is so much more difficult nowadays where you're so used to.
You just go to the drive-by thing and you just drop it in, though.
What drive-by?
As someone without a mailbox. Or, oh no, we even have like an outgoing mail in the apartment complex.
Where are you getting your stamps?
Where are you getting stamps?
I buy stamps. You buy stamps at the ATM.
Who goes to the ATM and buys stamps? You buy stamps at the ATM? I've never seen that before.
Where are you bank? Wells Fargo, you can be like, oh, I want $40 in cash, and then I also want stamps.
What?
You know, I bank at Wells Fargo,
and I didn't know that. And it spits out stamps. Or you order them literally online, which is how I order everything I've ever purchased. You go to USPS.com.
So you got to go online to get stamps.
And you can get like the fun ones that way, because then
so
you can
get
like
stamps mailed to you. Which seems really awesome.
It does seem that way, but think about what you're saying, which is that it's super hard to go get them on your own. So is it worth the convenient cost of just send them to me in an envelope? They don't weigh anything. And then you have, like, the fun little snowy day ones for your Christmas cards.
No.
And you have, flowers for the birthday cards. You can even get happy birthday stamps. So it looks like, wow, Lauren really put this together. It's a whole ensemble.
How much do they cost?
They cost what they cost.
What is the cost of a stamp nowadays? 45 cents?
I have no
it's
idea.
It's over 50 now, I think.
Over 50?
Or maybe it's 49. Maybe they're, like, not wanting
to
go.
It is so sad that I remember writing checks and mailing them the first of every month.
I saw friends who, like, they literally pay their rent by writing a check and putting it in the rent box. And I'm like, what are you doing? They were like, oh, yeah, we still haven't gotten around to paying our rent. And I was like, what do you mean you haven't gotten around to paying your rent? You sign up with the account. You auto-draft it from your bank account.
Look,
I do believe in auto draft, but I think you have to be, there's a stage, I think financially, I will get to where you're like, you know what, everything can auto draft, and most stuff's auto draft. I think you should be able to auto pay things.
I go in and I punch, you know, but the funny thing about it, up until a year ago, the only time I used a check was at church.
Do you have a checkbook, but you don't have stamps?
I have a checkbook, but right now that checkbook, if you ask me where it was,
really,
you said like if you
have
don't,
a checkbook?
Yes, but it is somewhere.
Okay, because how you feel about stamps? I feel about checks. Like every time we have to write a check for something, we have to like scramble, and you can go to Wells Fargo for that too, and they'll print you like a sheet of 3 checks. And so now we use one, and now we keep the other two safe, because I'm not going to buy
it's
a whole check.
I am not a
I was
check person.
Led to believe in middle school that checks would be more important, as well as cursive writing. None of those things have come up, you know, very often in my adult
life.
Yes,
my children don't know cursive writing.
I think they just bailed on teaching it, right? They're like,
it doesn't matter. They'll type eventually.
And then, because then there was an awkward phase where you're writing your first checks and you've always been told you have to use cursive on the checks. But you're like, it's a really rusty cursive, so they all look trashy.
Right. Interesting enough, kids do not write in cursive yet sign their name.
True.
Yeah. So they had to learn how to sign their name. But they just wanted to look cool anyway, so you just did the first letter. You have to get the first letter and then you go.
Just a scribble line.
Yeah.
That's Jordan. You got a J and an R, and the rest is just
You write your name.
Yes.
My mom has beautiful cursive. She's like L,
I have pretty good cursive.
Like every single time it's perfect.
For a man, I have
horrible cursive hand.
But she also types perfect too. Like she like does the actual like do. My hands don't move and I hit all the keys without
typing the keyboard in college because I had a little blue typewriter that I had to carry to carry to NC State with me. And I remember that little blue janky typewriter. So many and the little whiteout. Nobody uses that anymore.
My mom said she made money in college typewriting people's papers for them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's genius, but you can't do it. You can't.
I was gonna say genius, but borderline cheat.
Oh,
I think that's
not like writing really, them, just typing.
She told you what she did. You know,
occasionally she'd read a sentence and be like, that doesn't make any sense. And she just
creative,
grammar and editing.
Question.
True. She also cut people's hair for the military. Or like,
what did your mom do? That is impressive. She is a renaissance.
No, she didn't like. She buzzed it.
But for the military.
Yeah.
That's a different set of people.
She'd be the local barber. Actually, awesome. Let's talk about barbers for a second, because I didn't know you guys went to the barber so often.
Meaning black people go to the barber?
Yeah. Because I've never heard so much about the edges. You gotta get your edges done.
Let me tell you, Jordan goes at least once every 10 days.
So that's so often.
That's not often. No.
First of all, because I'm making assumptions.
Every 2 weeks.
But I've heard George talk about a barber, but like you guys haven't really talked
every
about
2 weeks.
For me,
when?
I used to.
What's your barber day?
So I had a barber day. It was Tuesdays, and then it was Wednesdays, and then it got screwed up because both the boys had practices, but we were on a every two Wednesday, like I'd leave
like
early.
Like in the evening. Oh, you leave early?
Yeah, because you got to get them out to school and get to practices. It's a big day. A big day.
How long does it take?
For me, I used to go on Saturday just for the conversation.
Yeah. Just for the guys you would.
If you've never been in a black barbershop and heard the conversation, I would go and just go for the conversation. And I sit in there with the boys because with me, I shave my head. Real simple. But when I had hair, I would go there Saturday. I'd go to Pete's Barbershop in Raleigh, which if you look at the Petey Pablo video, Raise Up, North Carolina Raise Up, they use that as a backdrop, and if you look at the guy going through, he's the guy that cut Jordan hair for the first time, and I have a picture of that. And then I started going to, and then they shot up Pete's Barbershop in a drive-by, and I stopped going there. And it's kind of bad.
Yeah.
And then I started going to one up the road here, John, who goes to church with me, and I go in there, I talk basketball, I talk politics.
Okay, so I hate haircutting talk. Like chit-chat that you have to make with like someone that you see. In my case, though, my person's I see every 4 months.
Four months?
You always have to be like,
yeah.
Oh, didn't you like go on a vacation? And you're like, yeah. And you always have to like re-discuss the same things because you forget this about each other. So it's like, oh, what do you do again? Like, oh, and you tell them and they're like, oh, okay. I hate it. So when they turn the blow dryer on, you're like, oh, thank God. Because then you sit there quietly.
It really sounds like you have no relationship with, and I don't know if that's cultural.
I mean, she's great. My mom loves, you met my mom, she loves chit-chatting with the barber, I don't call mine a barber, but like the hairstylist, like she likes to chit-chat with those people, but I don't like the small talk.
So how often does
Steven go, I was going to ask that.
He also prolongs, because he doesn't like the chit-chat either.
So essentially, let's get back to the idea of hair maintenance.
Yeah.
So the hair is different, and what happens to African or black people's hair changes over time in a manner that you can't just comb it, put some product in it. Like you're gonna look like a werewolf at some point, and that's really the beauty of it too. Is it can be styled in so many different ways, and there's so many things that you can
do with it, but it's a really important part of the maintenance is to take something that does change and shape it. It is like you feel like a different person during those, when you're getting your haircut, that there's something about your look that just changes.
It's tight,
but it's the ability, our hair just will not, you can't just be like, hey, I'm going to throw some water in it.
Can't slack off on it.
And I look normal. Like, you can tell a difference between a black person who has not gotten their hair cut and a person that does in the black community. I think it's,
You know, like, for me, the video, Chris Rock, Good Hair?
Okay.
That's a good movie to watch when it sits down and talk about African American hair, okay. And all the products and all, because if you're in Durham, go up the Beauty World. It is basically the size of the average Harris Teeter, and it's just hair supply.
What is filling the aisles of this place?
Oh, everything from wigs to weaves.
The wigs.
You got from S curls. You want your like Quajo. He wants to get the waves, so he got to put this product in there, and he got brushes. It has a million and one.
Yeah, one of the first experiences I had here at Central was being like, why is Jerome brushing his hair? Like, what is the brush for? Because I'd seen it several times, but you're never like, you just don't know what's going on with
it. He's training his waves.
He's training his waves. Mm-hmm. And that's like a term, like training your hair. Lucy and I talked about training. She's like, oh, my hair's natural, but I trained it. Mm-hmm. And that's why it lays flat. And that's like completely foreign concept to me. Like, I guess it's the reverse of a perm. It's like you...
No.
She's like, I just had to straighten it every day until now this is how it grows. Which I don't know if that's even, like, is that technically possible with my hair? Like, can I train it? I don't think I can train it to be
curlier. Yes. Yeah. It depends on the style and culture. So, yes, there are probably white people who go to the hairdresser quite often and they get their hair cut a certain way or it, you know, has a way that it moves mm-hmm. different. I think what is interesting about particularly black hair and black women's hair is, you know, level of acceptance and what mm-hmm. goes into beauty, which I can't totally speak to, but mm-hmm. training your hair meant that, you know, it's not easy for African American women to have straight hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when that became a thing, that's mm-hmm. not naturally how their hair lies.
Right.
Which is why you hear that when people say I'm going natural, that means that I'm not putting product in my hair so it looks like yours. It's like...
But now going natural is different because my niece has gone natural and she said, oh, you got to put this in your hair so it don't smell. You got to put this in your hair. I'm like, if it's natural, you're not putting anything in there. And she's putting three different products. She's putting three different products in there so that she can go natural.
Well, that's a man's point of view. Because we would say, no, totally natural means, you know, you got dirt and sticks in it. But what I'm saying is, you don't have anybody put a straightening chemical in it, and you're not putting flat iron.
Because it's the chemical piece.
Yeah, things that you have to do to the hair to make it lie.
It is kind of like what a perm.
Well, perm, exactly.
You know, like, right? Like, if you put chemicals in, and then it's supposed to grow differently.
Yeah,
or like when it grows, it doesn't lose its...
Perming, yeah. So that's a big thing is you still try to style it, but you're styling it according to the way your hair naturally works.
So the idea of training, like, so Lucy, her hair is now straight, but she still describes it as being natural. So is that like I had to spend a period of time being unnatural in terms of like putting chemicals in to straighten it?
Permanent. So I had a permanent.
Yeah. And then now it's permit. Now she doesn't touch it as much.
She doesn't permanent, meaning she doesn't put the chemical to straighten it, but she might actually
have
a flat iron or something.
Oh.
So you're
using. Oh.
That's about as far as I'm going to go on women's products because I know nothing.
You don't.
But I can talk about guys.
Yeah, okay.
And guys, it is a level of you get a chance to shape your hair, you get a time to do things with it that can change the way you look. You can look older, you can look younger, you can have an attitude with it, you can have not. I mean, it's just I think it's a beautiful canvas. The black hair is a male hair, it is a beautiful canvas, and I think a barber is an artist. And I think it's really just it's a thing I truly appreciate about being black, is that you get to sit in that chair and you go in one way and you come out feeling another, and you can do that every 2 weeks. And in the middle of it, you can say, I want my beard this week. And you can be like, I don't want my beard. I want a part of my hair. Or, you know, we're growing Kendall's hair out, and he's got the sponging in now, which I thought I would hate.
Sponging?
It's you rub the sponge in it, and it gives you
a little
curlier look.
I would tell anybody, in the past 20 years, let's go to the past 30 years, I've had 7 different ministers I've sat under. 7 different people who told me who God was.
Uh-huh.
And I've had 3 barbers. I've had more people to tell me who God is than I've trusted with my hair.
That's
very true. We're gonna digress from a little bit, but this is an important
very
point.
Very familial, loyal relationship.
Oh my gosh, it is like breaking up with a barber is like breaking up.
Have you had to break up with a barber?
Yes, I didn't do it really well, so you can see how it's handled. But that doesn't come naturally. You have to take a sponge and move it around so it makes that look. And so.
There's so many things.
There's so many things.
So what was some of your favorite hairstyles you had? Because I've only ever seen you. Like, you talk so excitedly about, like, all the options that you have every time you walk in there.
I'll do that, and I'll go back to you. So, we'll go back and forth. So, I'll start with the one that was the worst, but I loved it the most when I was little, was the Gary Coleman, when you get the part, like Arnold from Different Strokes.
Oh,
man, when they pulled that off, I was like, this is an amazing, piece of work. Although it's probably one of the worst haircuts I've ever had.
I think the worst one I ever had was my high top. I had a high top fade.
I liked the high top.
I had a high top fade. it's so funny. My mom used to
I need to see pictures because you're bald. Gotta see.
My mom used to plait my hair for me when I was when I was younger. So I used to have plaited hair.
That's hilarious.
What's plaited hair?
It was braided.
Oh.
So it was braided. So that when
I need all of these. I need the lineage of hair.
I need a photo book because I feel like I've had a lot of these conversations on a smaller scale, like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, but I've never sat down and like there's so many terms and like ideas that I'm just not familiar with.
So yes, I didn't go high top, but I had a fade.
Did you enjoy it, girl?
Hell no, but I wanted one. And this is the thing. There are things that your parents save you from that you need to thank them for. Because when Michael Jackson had the Jerry curl, and I used to go visit my cousin over the summer, and she had a Jerry curl, and they're putting their spray in and putting their back. And you're like, wow, you've got a Jerry curl. And it just was never even going to come up.
Just a little drip coming down here once in a while.
But when it was gone, I was just like, and you see the pictures, you're like, thank God I never had a Jerry curl.
My oldest brother had a Jerry curl. And I remember, who was it? One of the football players had a Jerry curl. And that was the most high maintenance hairdo for a football player in the world.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Every time the helmet came off, he had to, every time he left practice, first thing he did, spray. I gotta wash it because all this, and then it was a mess.
When you think about it, how cool. You had to be super cool to pull off a Jerry curl.
And confident.
Menacing people I've seen. As a matter of fact, when I'm thinking about it, the most menacing people I knew at a certain point, could the only ones that pulled off Jerry curls where you're just like, even if they showed you that picture now, you would go,
oh yeah,
damn, you look like you could kill some people. But that jerry curl. Like, you can be like, you had a jerry, but you're really not going to make fun of them because you realize they still looked pretty cool. Like, it's not a lot of cornball jerry curl.
I swear, I remember my older brother pulling women with a soul glow. And I think about it now, and you're sitting there like,
how did you do that? But you had to have a level of coolness to do. And so, didn't have a jerry curl. I did have an S curl, though. So, the I'll be sure thing my mom took.
So, you about okay, two steps need, away from it. You close to a jerry curl. And you had an S curl.
No, that's not the same thing.
You're getting close.
No, you're not. It doesn't move, first of all. It stays very, very compact.
I would love to take a stance on how different an S curl and a jerry curl are.
But I will tell you, a jerry curl, you know Michael Jackson, right?
Yes.
Jerry curls move. So when you
like, I think I can picture a jerry curl based on you saying Michael Jackson, but then when you said it looks like you could kill somebody, that really threw me off.
No, I was saying the people that pulled it off had a level of coolness, and a lot of it was really tough guys that would get them, and you would look at them and you would go,
what?
Below the hair? Like, this is a killer. And then you get to the hair and you're just like, you have a jerry curl, but it's not enough for you to clown somebody.
That's a perfect jerry curl right there.
Like, yes. When you look at, that's okay, Ice Cube, right?
Yeah.
You look at Ice Cube below the hair.
Oh, it's spelled G-H-E-R-I?
Yeah.
It's like Tom and Jerry curl.
Yes. So, S curl doesn't move.
The 47 best jerry curl images. Oh my God.
So I'm trying to find a good. So now they show modern S curl. You gotta go
retro.
I'll be sure.
You can still get jerry curls. Oh my God.
Who in the world would still get jerry curls?
Who in the world would still get
them? I don't know who was still doing.
Why was doing an S curl? Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get like the.
So, yeah, you can see it a little bit here, but there's some product in there that's not naturally how your hair is. But it just kind of curls up. And okay. It looks wet.
It
looks wet. It does look wet.
It's not as drippy. It's about two steps less drippy.
Like you can see it right there. It's not drippy at all. It's two steps. Jelly, first of all.
It's
had the S curl. Can't take me on. That was one of the best moves for me. Had a slope. I've been bald. I've had the parts. I have parts on my side in my hair. I've had designs in my hair. I've had.
What designs?
Oh, I had a Nike symbol.
Shave.
I had those. My wife hates the Kenny Anderson days for basketball. I had the part in the middle of my hair. I had my hair like it is now, but a part in the middle. Oh my God, that was my favorite. My wife literally hates that haircut. And I'm like, I met you, I had Derek haircut, so don't trick me. I'm trying to think, that's probably as far as I went. I don't think I never had it braided.
I've had it braided, and I had it braided with a thin line beard.
Oh, no.
Yes, Angela.
I got to see
this. Oh, no. The braids came down and you...
No, I had the braids, but my hair continued, and I had a thin line beard. They just went around.
Okay. These are quite the looks. I need to see all these pictures.
So, yeah. So, essentially, I've had... lots of looks and different looks within looks, you know, like you say, you can have a longer, you know, fade. I had a Caesar, which is even all around, with waves. I did it in college. I did a wave cap and, you know, trained your hair to have 360 waves where they go all the way around.
Oh, man.
But if you look at them in a row, like I never had the drastic changes you had.
They're
all similar versions of another. Mm-hmm. But they take you in different places. So you can be like, oh, I realize.
Every once in a while, you got to just come to school with a whole new look. Because with us, Coach Barger and Coach Sheridan, when you got to school, you had to have what we call a butterface, where you had no facial hair, none. And your hair couldn't be longer than a certain length. And so, and this was everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. And so we all, he took away the names on the back of the jerseys. We said he tried to make us Penn State, where it was just the, and everybody hated it. So everybody, right after the season was over with, or you go crazy. You said like, what's the craziest thing I can do with my hair?
That's wow. I didn't know you guys felt this way about hair. Considering hair is so that important. You guys have not,
I tell everybody,
your hair
when you walk into a black barbershop and you see the pictures on the wall, and there's like maybe 50 pictures, and they're like, everybody got a different hairstyle. And you say, like, I want that one.
Yeah, I think the version for, and I'll say the same, I mean, I think I notice all people when they change their hair to a degree, so mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I wouldn't notice a way. I know every time Paul gets his hair cut, but right. I think there is a level of, if you pay attention mm-hmm. to black, and I'm talking men, but mm-hmm. enough, you'll know the differences on when the hair is cut and when it's not.
Yeah.
It is obvious if you're actually keyed into their features. So you'll, if, for example, Kia, when she walks in, she'll be like, oh, you got your hair cut.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because there really is a distinct difference. So the even if your hair doesn't change.
I always notice that for...
You just say that often? Like, you would just come in every other week and be like, oh, you got your hair cut. Like, you get that excited every time?
Not excited.
Not for each other.
Yeah.
I mean, but it depends on the nature. But for myself, yeah. I mean, my wife still has us take photos of our, she does have, lines us up, and mm-hmm. let me see your haircut. Let me see how you look. Like,
it's a big deal for, and like, I tell anybody, my beautiful bride wakes up on Saturday, twice a month. And she goes out at 8 o'clock and she comes back around 12:30. She spends about 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah, that's a whole different
to have somebody to
ordeal.
Do her hair.
Yeah, which is a thing.
And but she would, when I take the boys to get their hair cut, everybody.
They look like real boys.
And and she hates it, like Jordan right now. Jordan getting his hair cut like Jordan wants his hair cut.
Are you learning about him?
Yes.
Did you have a lot of control?
So that's a piece. Character, it comes with your hair. It describes your character. And that is one of the rites of passages, is when your kids start picking haircuts that you don't like. Yeah. Or that you're like, I didn't buy into that, so... Caleb and I have a running joke. I'm like, we watched the NCAA tournament, and there's guys sitting on the end of the bench, and they got this little scraggly, look like a forest. And yeah. I'm like, dude, you can't ever look like that.
And he's like, yes, sir, right now. And then in 3 years, guess what?
He wasn't getting sponged, and I was like, it's not bad. I like it. And now he has coils, which I'm like, okay, this is the last step before you go into the end of the bench NCAA tournament guy.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have a conversation about this. But that is what he feels like expresses himself. And so, yeah, your kids have a moment where their hair is saying who they are at the moment.
Jordan has got the close size, the beard. His is about as thick as mine is now. And it's just, it looked like a bunch of just not combed.
Yeah.
But the lines are tight and everything.
Well, yes.
But it just doesn't look combed. And it goes up at straight up because it's so you can know it's edged out real nice. And I'm like, dude, just, for your mom, you're coming home. I saw him on FaceTime, what was it, 2 days ago? I'm like, you're coming home. You know your mom hates that.
Yeah, which I did happen in the afternoon. But let's flip. Because we've got kind of that black hair story.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't that why people really care about the hair? Like, how do you go four months without taking care of it?
Yes.
Because it just doesn't grow that fast, and not a lot changes in that time. Like, I might be unique. Like, a lot of women go more often, but And but it's like, you have to take 3 hours at the hairstylist. You have to be cutting it. You have to be perming it. Like, you have to be doing, or coloring it. That's what I meant to say. So a lot of girls get their hair colored, and that's what takes so long, or like highlights or dyed or whatever, which I don't do. So it's just like, it's just not going to change that much for me. Like, it's going to grow an inch every other month, and then otherwise it looks exactly the same.
But Steven, how...
I mean, you tell me, if maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think...
Like, and Steven, like, he just wears it, like, as it grows out, he just keeps styling it, and then he'll go and, like, boom, of course you're going to know that Steven gets his haircut, because it's completely...
So you're never like, shaved. Damn, man, you've had the same hair for 4 months. Like, how can you style
no,
it?
No, and I think that's what's so interesting to me, is, like, your conversation was like taking a lot of pride in like expressing oneself through their hair and like changing it up regularly in order to express yourself. And I'm just like, that's not how I personally think of haircuts at all. I mean, some people are really expressive and they like to get like big flashy colors, or like some girls just in particular like to spend a lot of time styling it. But for the most part, like, I'll know people for years, same hair. Years. Like, it's not unusual at all. And I'm trying to think of like who I know who's like the most adventurous with their hair, and it's like literally like, oh, this girl will sometimes dye it really blonde, and that's the extent of
which is a definite thing that happens, I think, in the white community, that like the dyeing is kind of like the level of bravest. Us getting our hair cut, but they're like, oh, my hair is brunette, but now it's even deeper brunette,
right?
Like, oh, like, it doesn't look any different, right?
Yeah, or like, oh, the new like balayage or whatever is like, you get it and it's like dark, but then it gets lighter towards the end or something like that. Or ombre became a thing for a while.
Ombre.
It was like fading.
That is amazing.
Ooh, and it like fades from like a blonde to a dark color, and like that, so that became popular. But like dyeing your hair a different color is the extent of. Like,
that's the expression.
Like, yeah, that's the expression part.
You know,
and it's usually pretty basic, to the extent that, like, typically women are going to go a little blonder in the summer to look like they've been, like, out in the sun in the summer. And it feels more summery. And they're going to get their tans.
Well,
they're going to get
that, but
highlights. And then that's, like, for the majority of girls I know, that's, like, as far as they're going to go.
I knew that your hair changed color in the summer, but I mean by being out, but I didn't know people were dyeing their hair that.
Yeah.
Because I've never.
So it sounds like the pride.
Like, Sarah would get her hair highlighted very often.
Right, and I've seen it. So I think the pride in what is it, white hair, is that it changes colors. It's kind of like, you're like a chameleon. You can be like,
I guess so.
I look like, yeah, I've been in the sun this week, and no, it's like, winter, I'm darker.
And then there's,
so that's what Trump is doing.
And then there's like some product you can use that's like, it's not going to dye your hair, but it's going to make it more susceptible to getting bleached by the sun. So it like is like lightener. So if you're my color hair, like that is like the bravest I'll be. It's like, oh, I'm going to use this product that like when I am in the sun, it will be extra effective. But I don't, I've never dyed my hair personally, but I know I'm in the minority, I think, of girls my age.
That's an interesting relationship to have with the sun.
I want you to affect my hair. I do not want you to affect my. Well, that's not true. I personally get burned by the sun very easily, so I'm just over it. But most girls, yeah, that's like, oh, I'm gonna tan and it's gonna bleach my hair and I'm gonna look a certain way.
Yeah, that's the beauty of melanin, right? I'm worried about. I mean, of course, people all over and all hues tan and know how they look in the sun. But the idea that I've really got to match up with the sun in a certain relationship. You know, we're talking about cutting it so it's lower so I don't sweat, yeah, right? Or,
oh,
you know, there's a
there. So there are summer hairstyles.
There are, definitely
there are
summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You, yeah, cut it lower.
And like girls will go shorter for that reason. Like they might like, oh, I usually wear my hair at shoulder length, but now I'm going to wear it a little bit shorter because it's like summery and fun. But then you start getting like, oh, it's summer, so I'm going to do beachy waves. Like that's a big thing. Like the idea of looking like you just got out of the ocean is like very appealing to the younger white millennials.
Why? If I can ask.
Is it like you always want to feel like you're having a good time? Like we're always on vacation. We're always on vacation.
I think there's like some like, you want to be the cool girl who's like, oh, I'm just so outdoorsy. And I want to look like I put no effort into my look, but I definitely did. Like, you're dyeing your hair, you're getting tanned, you're putting this product in, you're styling it with waves, like, you're curling it. Like, that does take effort, but the whole goal is to look effortless.
To look like, yes, I'm on vacation.
Yes. All the time. And like, oh, I'm just so summery. I'm just glowing.
I'm just walked out of the ocean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of, I think there's a level, well, I always tell you black people, just in my, our culture has flavor. And that's one of the things I love about it. And it's in our hair. It's in our... But I do think at times when you think about the idea of getting your hair cut as a white male, like, you're missing out. Like, just cut it every... Cut it 2 weeks.
I mean, I would say people... Like, there's degrees of... Like, there's going to be the guys who, like, go very often because they take very good care of themselves. But that's where Will... as a white community, throughout the term, like, you're being, like, metrosexual or something. Like, you're extra about your hair.
I didn't know
hair.
I was being,
like,
metrosexual.
Because it's like, oh, if there's a guy who's getting his hair cut, who's white, who's getting his hair cut every 2 weeks, you're like, oh, that guy probably also gets pedicures. Like, he probably also, like...
Not really good.
But, like,
you know,
very
fades are now in white
common,
community.
I would say. Yeah.
Which is starting to tick me off. Because if you start looking up, if I looked up fades right now, there would be a level of white man that shows up on here, and I'm like, don't steal.
Don't steal.
Now, I will
but
say one
that
thing.
That is, yeah, go ahead.
One thing, in I was down there where Jordan was getting his hair cut when he first got down to Charlotte, a place called No Grease. And it is the Charlotte metrosexual for black men. And it's like, you go there and you spend literally $50 for a fade.
And they give you a beer, and they give you a
no,
neck
they
massage.
Fade, and they talk to you, and this is another. And because my brother goes there, and I'm sitting there like, what happened to the corner barber shop? Well, you know so-and-so, you know Stan, and that. And Jordan now goes to see Stan. But no reason, it has gotten to a point where, even in the black community, where the bi-weekly haircut, it's crazy now.
So let's go back to that, because you're talking about when we can finish. Because I think you have to talk about that relationship with the barber. And I told you, barber's choices, like, you may have, if you have 10 in your lifetime, like, you're basically a prostitute.
A hair whore. Like,
you really cannot have, but I would say 5 to 10, and it, I guess if you live to 70, 10 barbers is good. Right,
yeah.
But I'm saying, in terms of the legit guys that you know name for name, or girls, because I've had women barbers, it is a real thing. It is a selection process. Now, it starts out haphazardly, right?
Yeah.
Because if you go to a new shop, you're doing two things. You're
uh-huh.
in a new place.
You're
taking
shopping.
A recommendation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or it used to be, you go sit your butt down and you kind of wait
watch.
To see, like, who's going to be like, you know, you need a cut, and then you wait in line, and you jump in the chair, and you're really taking
a risk.
Is there
always a line?
Not anymore, but there used to be. That is one of the
That's
traditions.
The Saturday thing.
That's one of the traditions I don't miss,
uh-huh.
because it used to be first come, first serve, mm-hmm. and then some places graduated to, like, a sign-in sheet. So you come in, and people, because they're busy, would come in on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everybody and their mom's trying to get in on Saturday, and there's just... You might get there at 8, but if you're number 9, and then it takes 20 to 30 to 40 minutes, on depending on what they're doing, you can go at 9, leave at 3. Like,
oh,
like going to church.
Oh,
right?
God.
Which is where the conversation, the TV, like, that's coming.
Because
if not, you're bored to death. You're sitting there.
For sure.
For
Especially
line.
Pre-cell phone era.
Yeah.
You guys literally had nothing to do.
So now they do kind of, ours does appointments. So it's really like you just need to show up when you're supposed to be there. It's a different experience.
Yeah.
So this is more of a sign in right now. We're going down. Like,
but you're
okay,
saying
I'm
you've had like the, I'm sorry, Ed, you've had like the 5 o'clock slot every Tuesday, every other Tuesday for years. Like, if you're in the habit of going.
My newest, our latest barbers who we've been, I'm trying to think, we've had for 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just say, hey, I want to come in at this time. Yeah, I'll put you down. Like, if you walked in there and be like, you got anybody? And he's usually like, no. Like,
yeah,
I got a line of people. And so, which is quite funny and dejecting to watch people walk in and be like, hey. And he's like,
my bad.
Nobody. Man, you're about to come back tomorrow. You know, it's just like, dude, pick up the phone, right? Like, yeah. Come here or come make an appointment. But essentially, the barber process is super strenuous because you're sitting there while somebody's, like, this is your canvas, right? This is how you're going to look for however long.
Yeah.
And you got an artist you've never met before.
Right.
You don't know how good they are. And that is the most nerve-wracking 20 minutes that you just hear. And you try to sneak a look in the mirror to the side, like, what are they doing? And then there's this reveal where they hand you the mirror. And it's really like, if you want to play a joke on a black man, is when they get done with a barber, go... They will be like, what happened?
Like, nah, nothing, man.
Wait, you're not in front of a mirror the whole time?
You can't see because they're going to move your head around like you literally, most of the time they move you away from the mirror. Because they have to line you up. They're facing you. Okay. So they're doing a lot of that. A lot of you can feel things. And like I said, you can, when you steal your look in the mirror, you look ridiculous, right? Because you might have skin bald hair and like a total the way your hair came in fro, like you have to wait terrifying. Till they start doing this stuff.
It is.
So at that point you are determining whether this relationship, like a date, is going to go to a second date or whether it's going to jump into a marriage. And it really is that. If it is awesome, we're betrothed, we're married. Yo, when can I come back? I appreciate this. What's your hours like? Like we're all in. If it sucks, you're literally talking like murder.
You can't go back to that shop.
You can't go back.
Because if you go back to that shop, he's going to be looking for you. And I hate going in there and be like, and especially when you go in there and...
You're like, you mean you can't go back and try to get a different barber in the same place?
I'm going with him this time.
Yeah.
You can, but it's really, it's a dicey situation when you go... Nah, I'm gonna go here. Because then there is that guy who has an open chair who's like, yo, I'm ready. And you're like, nah, wait. Which is basically saying you suck, right?
You're telling everybody in the shop that you suck.
There's a Seinfeld, I know, do you guys watch Seinfeld?
I don't.
No.
There's a Seinfeld episode where they do, like, that exact scenario. Like, Jerry's been getting his hair cut by this guy for years and years, but he doesn't like him. Like, he hates getting his hair cut. It's always bad. But he's like, but he likes me so much and he's so nice to me. And then he's like, he's watching people get his hair cut by the guy's son. And he's like looking at them long and he's like, oh my God, they're such good haircuts. And he tries to pull the switch. Yeah. And then he comes to his house and they get caught cheating by the barber.
This is a funny one where you go to a new shop. And you walk in the church, or you walk somewhere, and your old barber is looking like, oh, what's up, here?
Yeah.
And he know that you're looking at your hair, like, oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. It is that stressful. When you go, and I've done all the different, I've gone from barber to barber in the same shop, which is dicey, right? Like, you're coming up with excuses.
Yeah.
You know, Well, the best case scenario, but this will happen, and it's dicey, is when your barber goes out of town, and then you have to go to the person that's there, and they're better than them, and it's like, so you're going to be here next week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, yeah. But you know, they're kind of, you know, this is my friend. You're kind of cheating on me with my best friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're going to take the business.
Yeah.
But they really, then there's the awkward of, oh, what's his name cut my hair last week? And they start looking at each other like, oh, so you're cutting my customer's hair now?
Right. Because you are my customer at that time.
I leave for 1 week and now.
Yeah, and now they're yours? Like, that is a thing.
That's funny.
The divorce is worse. So I've had two divorces that didn't involve moving. Or, like, you know, literally I wasn't in the same location. So that I can, remember. Well, I'll talk my Greensboro divorce. So I was going to a guy recommended to me in Greensboro, and he was super good. Like, I was all in. And then one day he was busy, and he was is like, you can go to this other guy, blue guy, right? Guy, and I was still in my part days, right?
Oh,
so I'm
okay.
Like, you know, here's that one, faded, part in the middle, right? This dude puts my part like left to center, right?
Uh-oh.
And so then there's the awkward point of, do I pay him? Like,
yeah, do I, I'm not going to tip this.
And I'm
bro.
Like, yo, like, this isn't in the right place, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's good. Like, no, it's not, right? So,
oh, no.
But I'm not the arguer type, right? So as Ed says, that means we are done, right? Like, I never, so I pay the man, kind of look at my other guy, you know, see you.
Tear rolling down the cheek.
Right, I've never been back. Literally never went back, went to find a new barber that week. Next recommendation.
Because it was going to be too awkward to go back to your original guy?
Because then you have to explain how that dude messed up his hair. So
and he recommended him. They're like, go, no, you're supposed to know. You know me.
Right.
Why you going to send me to somebody?
Right.
How are there bad barbers, though?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
who goes to those people if they can't even center a part?
So the key is, do you have a license, right? Which is really the key to getting a chair. Getting customers is the art, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to have new blood to test. Mm-hmm. And so if you're bad, nobody really knows until you've cut enough people. And sometimes it's not necessarily the person is totally bad, but they're not creative enough to only... And that really led to my next divorce, which still is really personal and I'm just...
it still hurts.
This person, you know, like...
It's a messy divorce.
Was the person I went to after, we went to the same church, like, saw the other person. Like, I love this person.
Yeah.
And it got to a stage, though, where she couldn't do the boys' hair in the styles that they wanted it. And it was just the same haircut. Plus, it was, like, hurting them.
So they would say, I want something different, and she would just do
the same. She would sit down, and you didn't say what you wanted most of the time. It was just like, you do this, right? And you cut. Then they would be like, you know, it's like... Yeah, and she didn't really do if kids moved a whole lot. You know, it got to the point with them. And so, Kendall, if you wouldn't remember, and I don't think none of you were around for this, Kendall, we didn't cut his hair for 2 years when he was born. So, he had a fro that was braided. We just were like, we wanted to see how far this thing goes out. Then it got to the point where we were like, okay, he doesn't want to mint. We're going to get a cut. But we knew going to the other barber that she would not be able to deal with him
squirming.
Yeah.
So my wife got a recommendation from a friend to go to now our new barber. And my man was like the baby whisperer, right? Like, he's just like...
Aww.
You know, Kendall didn't move. Best haircut ever, right? Uh-huh. Like, Caleb's was like, and so Caleb's looking like,
this is what I've been missing out on.
Right. So he's like, well, I want a mohawk. Can I get a mohawk? Right.
Uh-huh.
Mohawk fade is different than just Mr. T mohawk. He goes, he gets out of the chair. We're like, damn, like. Wow, so I'm still going to my barber, my marriage, and taking them to another.
No.
So we've got this split haircut routine.
From your chin.
Yes, but so I get to the point where I'm at least courageous enough to bring them in with me when I go. And I flat out say, like, Kendall was not, we didn't want to put you through that.
Yeah.
And then Caleb starts showing up with Mohawk, and I'm thinking she'll kind of catch that he's doing a haircut that she just doesn't do.
Right.
But I'm loyal, right? Like, I'm going to go in on this. Like, this is what we do. You do my hair fine. I'm rocking with it. Until the schedules got too next up. So I'm trying to go to her at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and then I'm taking them on 4 o'clock on Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember this fateful day. I went in the morning. She was normally always open at 6 in the morning, and it was closed. And I needed a haircut.
And you were like,
I gotta go to this other guy.
I'm gonna bail.
It was at 8 o'clock.
I'm gonna bail.
I didn't know if I was gonna bail. I needed my haircut.
Yeah.
But when I got out of the chair, it was like, I'm happy.
I've felt things I haven't felt in years.
But literally, we can all go to the same place. So I was just like, we're just going to keep coming.
Yeah.
We still have not had a breakup session. I have not reported back and been like, we're moving. Like,
yeah.
It kind of coincided when I took almost, right? Like, I haven't even been back to church. Like, literally, it's been a divorce.
Like I said, wow. I had more
started a new life with a different
person. And then what's funny, it coincided with me taking this job. So it's almost like I moved to Durham.
That's funny.
The barber relationship, and I've had a fight with a barber.
Well, if this person's like your family after you're seeing these people more than you see like your relatives. Like,
Major was a friend of mine's husband, and they got into they went through a hard divorce and some things went on, and I think he purposely gave me a bad cut.
Oh yikes.
And I said something to him about it, you know. It was
that's
like
hilarious scorn.
You know how you say something to somebody about it, you're like, hey dude, this is, you know, my part is, you know, this is not cool. And he said something to me and some words were crossed, and I was like, look, F you, I'm going over here and saying, his shit.
What are the...
Can you fix my hair? And so that kind of, I think that ended that relationship bad. Another time when I first started, I was over at NC State, and it was Troy Russell, his father was, you can delete that name. A guy played with me, his dad was a barber, right there by Shaw U. And I went in and I got a shave, and he nicked me twice. And I'm like, I'm bleeding. You ain't supposed to nick me, you're a professional. My fault, big guy. And it bled for a little while. I'm like, I ain't never going back. But yeah, delete that name. But yeah, this, and I was.
So I have a question. So where are your wives go when you go to the barber with your sons?
Do whatever they want.
They don't go to someone that they call their barber. They go to a hairstylist person.
Depends on the woman. Mine does not go always to a hairstylist. She does her own hair. But essentially, if you're talking about, and here's the great thing about having boys, like I don't have a girl. It's a vacation for her, and it's an outing for us.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're all going to the barbershop.
Yeah.
So
that is kind of, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad Angela does go. She's been going to the same guy for a while. And it was funny because the lady in the salon that she was going to said that she was just overbooked and could she go to this guy who was right there beside her, and she started going to the guy. And she likes what the guy's been doing. And so the guy's been doing her hair for 3 years now. And I think that she, you know, like I say, she still goes to this little guy.
That's how it works.
So you get, like I said, I've had more people to tell me about God than I had to cut my hair on a regular.
And then that's how it should be. And I think, again, that goes into the relationship of how important our hair is. And I would say if you took it, again, to, you know, the white community, I'm sure it's similar. I just don't think there's the deep down roots, because I think there's,
you're talking every
2 weeks. For a guy, every 2 weeks, if you're doing it right,
mm-hmm.
but if you're like really about, you know, some people go weekly, you're literally talking about spending more time with this person. This is your family.
Yeah.
That's a part of your that's your people. Like,
yeah.
My barber that I, you know, recently left, she knew when our kids' birthdays were. Like, she would give you gifts for your birthday. I mean, it was a great, I mean.
How much
like,
is this costing every other week, too?
Depends on, for us, it's $40 for all of us, but that includes a tip.
For
$40 twice a month.
For the boys, it's $13, I mean, $30 for them. I don't go there, get mine cut. The thing that Angela always reminds me, give a Father's Day tip and give a Christmas tip. So you always, because these guys, like you say, they become part of the family. So it's like, you know, John, Merry Christmas.
I've not done that, but here's a trick that I learned from my wife. Is she overtips because you never know that one day that you might need a free cut. And so we pay $5 above what the cost is every time. I don't even be like how much it is. You're getting $40, right? Yeah. I calculate it in my head. You're getting $40. It includes a little soda. Kendall will always drink. But I've had times where I've been like, you know what? Not that I don't have money, but I've got to get out of here. Like, I've got to go some pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bring you the money tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, because you've gotten $40 a week, so that's a $5. Like, literally, I paid $100 to $200
in
haircuts.
I've always, we will always talk the tip because you never know when you can get in there and you go and talk to him like, hey, John, look, I know you got a lot, but can you slip me in? I know that somebody didn't sign in. I got to get joined into something.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. These guys had appointments already, and he explained to the guy, the guy's not mad because he didn't sign up, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get in early. And you gotta tip them.
So yes, I would say I am not the $20. There are some stages. That's another divorce topic. When prices start jumping, and there's not a lot of discussion as to why prices. I've had that. I think a legitimate haircut in 2019 should cost $15.
Okay.
I grew up on 10, you know, 7 to 10, but I understand that there's inflation. Once you start talking 20 to 25, I'm like, you need to be the size of my shoulders.
I tell you what, No Breeze down in Charlotte was just so, and they had the little book, and it just threw me off. I wasn't ready for a $45 haircut.
No, there's no such thing.
That's what I get.
But that's,
my haircut's cost.
That's yours. I mean, that's
what. No, I just think it's interesting, like, that you, like, how much different the budgeting is for your getting your hair taken care of.
It's
but that's cheap, $45. Like, I know girls who go, it's $100 every time they go.
But I'm saying, if Steven paid, if he came
Steven
home.
Steven pays, like, $20.
If he came home and was like, I spent $25, I would be like, you go back and get your money. There's nothing they're doing unless they're, like, gelling your hair.
Yeah.
But for what we do, $15.
Angela, it hit us about $40 every 2 weeks. And sometimes I want to say, baby, you look beautiful. But.
I'm going to not participate in that one right now.
No, but you sit down there, you're like. But my wife is beautiful, so anything she does with her hair is the right thing.
You have to do that, because, you know, you have to understand, this is the preview stage. If any of this stuff hits national, you're in a lot of trouble, just like I am now. You know, have held, my barber divorce in secret for so long.
Yeah, we can't. I mentioned a couple names that I can't give you. Because I'm still friends with
one. Although very cathartic, because I think it really was one of the disappointments in my life that I have not broken up with my barbers in the right. Well, the other guy deserved it, but this one didn't. I just stopped.
Just imagine if somebody, you're dating somebody and just stopped calling.
But again, here's the funny thing. I wasn't the only one. Like, I've seen this happen over time with people. You're like, where's Joe?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. And then people are like, oh, where's Kathy? And you know, like, they've just moved on. Like, it's like, it's. So it's not like it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But I have literally never seen this is my last day here because I'm going over here. I don't even think that really happened. No. I really think it is a ghosting situation.
Yeah, you have to.
You're literally there one day, and then you're not there.
Yeah, because you can't sit down and explain, look, the way you did my life, I think I got other people that can do it better.
Yeah.
You can't have that conversation.
Yeah.
The way you've been fading me is just, it's old. And I've asked for an updated style, and you hadn't done it the last three times. Like, going somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's not...
I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I guess I do feel a little bit better, because I've never seen that done well.
So let me ask you this as one of our last questions, but, like, why do you get the same haircut regularly now?
He's an old man. I can tell you that.
For someone who taught for all the, like, oh, I love the canvas, I love the art, and I love the expression... Like,
I think you wouldn't have noticed the differences, because I actually don't take the same haircut.
Uh-huh.
I think you have to, again, I think that's being trained in observation on hair in general,
yeah,
but then also black hair is like, I will get it, so you have to watch the top,
because
that will
It'll
go higher or lower.